Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the opportunity to sing praise to you today. It has been so, so much fun. It's been good. Lord, we love to praise you and worship you because you are worth all our praise and all our worship. You are God, and there's none else beside you. You're our Creator, and you're our Savior. You've redeemed us, as we sang about so beautifully and so powerfully just now, with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how we praise you, our Redeemer, for redeeming us from Satan, from sin, from hell, from death, and for giving us eternal life in through your blood. So we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here. We thank you that you've gathered us together. Every meeting we have in the name of Jesus is, we know it's a divine appointment. You've gotten us here, and you've given us strength and energy and health and the ability just to be here today, and we praise you for that. And now, Lord, as we turn to your word, we pray that you would be our teacher, that you would instruct us from your word. Help us to be teachable. Help us to be willing to learn and to grow, to be more like Jesus, to be useful instruments in your hands as long as you give us breath, as long as this life shall last. Lord, we want to glorify you. So please use this verse to help us do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're looking at one verse of Scripture. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. It's very brief, but I'm telling you, it's packed full. It's one of those kind of verses. And I want you to listen for four commands. We're going to look briefly at those four commands. So here it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. Let me read it again. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. Now, there are four commands here in this one little verse, and if you noticed, he's kind of separating people into four groups. And the first group he talks about here, in my translation, he called them the idle, the people who are idle. Sometimes that's translated unruly. The Greek word is ataktos, and it was used to describe soldiers in those days who were being disorderly or out of rank. It was also used to describe people who didn't show up for work. They were idle. And so it carries the idea of being maybe lazy and undisciplined. And God says that we're supposed to admonish them or warn them. That's what he says, warn them or admonish them. Because God always wants things done in an orderly fashion. He wants things done with discipline. And he's so serious about that, that he gives some of his kids, some of us, a gift of organization. My wife has that gift. And I'm so thankful because she's helped keep me organized through the years. It's been wonderful. But he gives that gift to some people so that they can help us be organized and also teach the rest of us how to be organized. We need that gift. We all need that gift. Because God says it's not okay to be disorganized and sloppy and haphazard and undisciplined or lazy. That's just not okay from God's perspective. Now, the truth is our flesh wants to be that way. We all tend to be that way in the flesh. Most of us by nature are lazy. Most of us by nature are kind of undisciplined and disorganized. And by the way, that's why the rooms of most teenagers, have you ever been into a bedroom of a teenager? It's usually a mess. It's usually sloppy and disorganized. Yeah, and it's because they hadn't got quite mature enough yet to understand the importance of organization. They just don't quite get it yet. Of course, sometimes that carries over into adulthood, I know. But God says it's just not okay. It's not okay. Being disorganized, being undisciplined, being lazy is a very, very ugly habit, and it can lead to some really bad outcomes eventually. So God says to us, when we see our brothers and sisters behaving this way, we've got to warn them. We've got to say, hey, we need to let you know that behavior is not really godly. And if they want to walk with the Lord, if their desire is to walk with the Lord, if we tell them graciously and we tell them lovingly and with compassion in our voice, they'll be grateful for that. And of course, if they don't want to, they may get irritated with us. They may make excuses. They make all kinds of reasons why they're the exception. They're too busy to be organized. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I tell you, think about that. That's an oxymoron. The busiest people in the world have to be organized or they can't get things done that they've got to do. So organization helps us get things done. But our flesh, being what it is, we get irritated. We make excuses when somebody tries to help us grow in the Lord if we're not careful. All right, let's go on to the second group. The second group he brings to our attention is the disheartened. The disheartened. Some translations translate that faint-hearted. And it's a little bit difficult word. It's the only time it's used in the Bible. Only time it's used in the Bible is right here. But it seems to refer to people who become exhausted or weakened, maybe physically exhausted, but maybe also just emotionally and spiritually exhausted and tired and beat down and discouraged. You know what I mean by that, don't you? I mean, you know, we've been there, and we're probably, some of us are there right now. And God says, I want you to encourage these people. I want you to encourage them. And that means to comfort them and to console them, to comfort and console them. But it also means to encourage them to stay in the battle, to stay the course, to not give up, to just be encouraged, to persevere, keep on obeying God, keep on growing in the Lord. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. And again, encouragement is so important to God that He's given some of us kids that gift. He's given me that gift of exhortation. And He wants us to use it to help other people be encouraged, yes, but also to help other people learn how to encourage others, to help others grow stronger in the Lord, and to make good decisions. And so, you know, to stay in that battle, to persevere, to get ready for eternity. You know, we're always wanting to help people get ready. That's part of encouragement. And it's just amazing how much encouragement can change the behavior of other people, even animals. I read about a man who went to his front door. This is several years ago, many years ago. Everybody got newspapers, you know, throw them in the yard. He went to his front door to get his newspaper, and there was a little dog. He'd never seen that dog before, and his little dog sitting there wagging his tail, and the dog had brought his newspaper out of the yard right up to the front door. And he thought, well, boy, that's neat. That's a cool little dog. I don't know where that dog came from, but that's a blessing. So he said, I'm going to encourage that little dog. So he went and got some treats and gave the dog some treats, got his newspaper, and went in the house. The next morning, he went out, and the encouragement worked because the little dog was right there again. Only this time, there were 8 newspapers. And so he spent the rest of the day taking those newspapers back to the owners of the other houses where the dog had gotten the newspaper. Yeah. So, but the little dog was certainly encouraged. But it helped. With kids, too. It helps with kids to encourage them. A little kid one day went up to his dad and said, hey, Dad, let's play darts. I'll throw, and you say, wonderful. You know, kids just want encouragement. They like it. They want it just like we do. Yeah. Let me share another story. It's a little more serious. But there was a Christian, who, this was many years ago, but he was a professional man, and he worked in a really nice office building. And there was beautiful music playing. It was air-conditioned and you know, just a beautiful place. And he enjoyed that job a lot. But he lost his job. And it was a tough time in the economy. And so he went out looking for another job, and he couldn't find a job. But he had a family, and he knew he needed a job to provide for his family. So he finally found a job working on a construction site. It was an urban construction site. And he was carrying heavy concrete blocks in a wheelbarrow back and forth. And it was pretty unpleasant because it was uncomfortable for one thing. It was hard manual labor for another. He hadn't been doing that. And instead of the beautiful music he'd gotten used to in the office building, there's the blare of these radios. And the guys that he worked with tended to be a little bit rude and profane. And sometimes, he said, a woman would walk by and they would say ugly things to her and whistle at her and stuff like that. And his boss was a foreman who thought the way to motivate people was to cuss them out. So he got cussed out a lot because he hadn't learned it all yet. And he was getting really discouraged about it. And about 3 weeks into that job, he said, okay, I've had it. I'm through. I know I need a job. I need the money, but I can't handle any more of this. I'm going to work till lunch today, and then I'm out of here. I'm going to quit. So the foreman came to him before lunch with his check, and he gave him his check, and the foreman said, you know, there's a woman up at the front office who says she knows you. She says she's watched your children some. And he was kind of puzzled. He said, well, what's her name? And the guy told him her name, and he said, oh, yeah, I know her. She went to church with this guy. And sometimes she worked in the nursery. That's the reason she had his kids sometimes. So he opened up his check. The foreman went on, and he looked at the check. And the lady that knew him happened to be the payroll clerk. And she had been watching him go through that tough time. And she just simply wrote him a little simple note, just a very, very simple note. And the note said these simple words: when one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer with it. Just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you in these difficult days. That's all it said. And he looked at that note and he started crying. And he said, God, your timing is so perfect. And he needed that encouragement. And he thought, I'm not going to quit. You know, and he didn't quit. He stayed working. And he got through that tough time just with a few words of encouragement. That's amazing what encouragement can do. It's just amazing. Now, I know not all of us have the gift of encouraging and exhorting. Not everybody has it. But we can all do a better job of it. We can all work at it. And it's a good thing. Just ask God, Lord, show me some ways I can be an encourager. Would you show me? And he will. He'll show us creative ways. I read about another lady. Again, this was many years ago. But she lived in Oakland, California. And she was getting too old to get out of her house. She still lived at home, but she was too old to get out. But she could play the piano. And she was asking the Lord to show her ways that she could encourage other people and minister, and how could he use her? And this idea came to her head, and she put an ad in the Oakland newspaper, and this is what it said. This is interesting. It said, it's in the Oakland Tribune, pianist will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. The service is free. And she put her phone number there. And she thought, well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Well, sure enough, she started getting calls. And when somebody called her, she'd say, what hymn do you want to hear? And they'd tell her, and she'd play a song for her. And within a few months, her playing songs with that phone laying over there on the table, she'd play it, they could hear it over the phone, that she had encouraged hundreds of people, and many of them were sharing their problems with her over the phone, and she was getting to encourage them and pray with them. Isn't that amazing? You know, she couldn't get out, but God still used her to encourage people. And he can use us too. And, you know, there are different ways we can do it. But listen, it's a command. It's a command. And in Hebrews 3:13, he gives it again. He says, exhort or encourage one another every day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And here's another one. Hebrews 10:25. Do not neglect to meet together, as the habit of some is, but encourage one another. Encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And even in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just a few verses before the one we're looking at here, we're looking at 14, back in 11, he says, therefore, encourage, there it is again, encourage, it's a command, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So we need to do it. And if you'll just pray, and I'll just pray, Lord, show me how. It may just be a smile. It may just be a thank you. It may just be, hey, you're doing a good job. Just words like that. I really appreciate you. You're a blessing to me. God's using you. Those kind of things. We can encourage people. The third command in this passage, in this verse, is to help the weak. It's so sad, but it's true that many, many Christians have not yet learned to obey the command of God that says, be strong. God says in his word, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. But they've not learned how to do that. They've not learned how to resist the devil. They've not learned how to resist the flesh. They've not learned how to stand alone in some cases when everybody else is going another way. They're weak. And what that usually means is they've not taken the time yet to get into God's Word, to study God's Word, to memorize it and meditate on it and get God's Word into their hearts and their minds and their lives. So they're weak. But God says, I want you to help them. I want you to help them. And it goes hand in hand, of course, with the disheartened command, the one just before this, because obviously the weak people are easily discouraged. But we can help them. And again, just by praying with them and reminding them, listen, God's got promises for you. And tell them some of God's promises and share that. And maybe gently encourage them. Why don't you memorize that promise? Why don't you meditate on that promise? Why don't you get that promise into your heart and let God help make you strong through that, through his word? All right, the last commandment is, the final one here, he says, be patient. You remember who he said to be patient with? Be patient with them all. Be patient with them all. Be patient with them all. Now, I don't know about you, but it's tough for me sometimes to be patient. It really is. I get so frustrated with people. When I see weak people and discouraged people and undisciplined people, I find myself saying, you know what? They've been Christians long enough. They ought to know better. They ought to know better. They shouldn't be so weak. They shouldn't be so discouraged. They shouldn't be so undisciplined. And then I realized, wait a minute. I've been a Christian a long time too. And I ought to know better than to be weak and discouraged and undisciplined myself. But sometimes I need the encouragement. Sometimes I need the help. You know what I mean? Sometimes I need to be admonished. And when I think of that, I realize, hey, I want people to be patient with me. I better learn how to be patient with them. Let's ask God to help us do that. Father, thank you so much this afternoon for this word from your scripture, this passage of scripture. Lord, thank you for the way you've spoken to our hearts through it. Lord, your word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce into our hearts and souls, minds, and into our innermost being, and change us. Lord, we invite conviction. We want you to help us realize where we need to grow, where we need to change. Lord, would you help us all to be able to admonish those who are unruly? And would you help us, Lord, to be able to encourage those who are downcast and depressed and discouraged? And Lord, would you help us to know how to help the weak, to be stronger in you? And Lord, would you teach us to be very patient with them all? We need you to teach us. We thank you that you've been patient with us. And Lord, we want to learn to be patient too. So help us to be more like Jesus every day. And we will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.